Well, Italy's prime minister says he will resign after his referendum on constitutional reform suffered a resounding defeat at the polls yesterday. Matteo Renzi had staked his political reputation on the referendum, and its defeat leaves Italy facing political and economic uncertainty. For more, we're joined from Rome by NPR senior European correspondent Silvia Poggioli. Silvia, first, just remind us what Italians were voting on and why did these reforms fail?
Well, the reforms were aimed at basically streamlining the parliamentary system, reducing the power of the Senate, which was basically doubling the work of the Chamber of Deputies, the lower chamber, and also reducing some of the powers of the region, bringing them more to the central government. These were aimed at creating a more sort of stable economic system. The government also said that they would probably also stimulate the economy somewhat by accelerating the legislative process. The fact is that these are very technical issues, and the way the campaign was waged and the way the prime minister mistakenly at the start sort of personalized it, saying if the no vote wins, I'm going to step down, that really transformed the whole referendum campaign into a vote of confidence into Renzi himself. And, you know, Italy, like the rest of many European countries and also the United States, is undergoing a very strong sort of, you know, anti-establishment wave. There's a very bleak economic picture here, and there's a lot of blaming the government. Renzi had come into power just 2.5 years ago on an anti-establishment kind of platform, and he was basically bested by other populist movements to, you can't even say to the left or the right, because it's coming from all sides. And he was defeated.
Is it clear that he is going to actually be allowed to resign by the president?
Well, he already met for an hour today with the president. He's going to, we understand he's going to go back in a few hours. And we expect that he's going to hand in his resignation. The question is, there are certain very important commitments the government has in the next few weeks. One is to pass the next year's budget. And also there's need for a serious reform of the current electoral law, because given how this result went, there's still a Senate and there's a Chamber of Deputies. The current law would not work for a variety of reasons. So he may be sort of pressured to sort of remain in office for a certain amount of weeks, few months. It's not clear. Or the president could decide to create a caretaker government, choosing an institutional figure, the head of the Senate, for instance, to run the country for a few months and then hold early elections. Everything is open. It'll probably take several days before we know exactly what is going to happen in the next few months.
Silvia, leading up to this vote, a lot of analysts said that there was much at stake for Italy politically, but also for Europe in general. What happens now, or what might the ripples be because of this?
Well, had the yes vote succeeded, Italy basically would have not been a problem for the rest of Europe. 2017 is going to be a really major and important year. There are going to be elections in the Netherlands, in France, and in Germany, and particularly in the Netherlands and France, there's some very strong populist, anti-establishment, anti-EU, Eurosceptic parties that are doing very well. Also in Germany, Chancellor Merkel is under pressure for her migration policies and so forth. So Italy, if won yes, it would not be a problem. Now Italy adds to that sort of sense of instability that's going on in Europe. Europe has some very major issues, economic problems it has to resolve, migration, of course, and yet it's going to face paralysis because of these four countries now with major election issues and uncertainty in coming months.
Have we seen any economic fallout yet?
Well, immediately as soon as the results were known, the euro did drop quite a lot. The markets were shaky, but then after a few hours, things seems to have come back to normal. That is not seen as an immediate problem. Even the Italian banking sector, which is very fragile, the first indications today were it's not so bad. But in the long term, we don't know. As I said, it depends a lot of what kind of a government we're going to see, and how many powers it will have, really. If it's just a caretaker government, will it have the political clout to take major decisions?
The vote in Italy, of course, was not the only one yesterday that you were covering. There is another vote in Austria where the former head of the leftist Green Party defeated a far-right candidate in a very closely watched election there. How do these two things fit together?
Well, not really, because everybody was voting on different issues. However, seen from outside, they were both seen as the next steps in this sort of new populist anti-establishment wave, which started with the Brexit vote in June in Britain, and then, of course, Donald Trump's victory in the United States, and then the rising popularity of the National Front, Marine Le Pen's party in France, and other sort of movements throughout Europe. So the defeat, let's say, of the hard right presidential candidate who would have been the most far right elected president in Europe since World War II, that was a little bit of a break on this populist wave.
That's Silvia Poggioli, NPR senior European correspondent, joining us from Rome. Silvia, thanks.
Thank you, Jeremy.